This reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Okay.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to Breaking Waves. I'm Riley.
Hello, Riley.
And you are John Mark.
I am. I am he, and he is me. And we are
bringing you a show about neighborhoods.
Yes.
Did you grow up in one?
I guess so. I think, by definition, everybody has grew up in one and is living in one right now. Unless you live in a cave somewhere without any neighbours.
This marks a turning point in our memories of this show because it's the first time that we have ever tackled a subject that from which the word doesn't seem to originate in Latin. So
yeah, that's right. Most of our words have Latin or Greek origins, but this one is, according to the interwebs, this one's Old English.
It
doesn't seem to have any Roman or Greek attachments.
Maybe our ancestors were around when it got invented, John. Old English.
Yes, well, it made me think of the term burrow, which was a term used in the early colonial days to describe different suburbs. And I wasn't too sure about that one, but it has connections to government and law and order and entitlement, unlike the word neighbourhood, which is really just about your neighbours, the street you live in.
Yeah, burrow is an interesting one. You don't hear it anymore, but my only kind of exposure to the word comes because I'm very America influenced. The five boroughs of New York: Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island.
Yeah, I think it's, I've never really heard it used in American culture, and it's really not really used here either. I came across it. Oh, well, it was in the past because I was in Redfern a while ago, and there's a park there, Redfern Park, with a fountain in it. And there's a little plaque there which talks about the borough of Redfern. And, of course, we're a colony of Great Britain, and that was the way we all spoke back then. But it's fallen out of favour, that word, but maybe been replaced by neighbourhood. What are some other words for council areas?
Well, there's like
government-defined regions.
Yeah, there's like a town and then there's a county, which is like bigger than a town. It's like a whole bunch of towns, I believe.
We don't have counties here.
No, it was funny because during COVID I was made familiar with LGA, LGA. Don't stay inside your LGA. I'm thinking, what's LGA? And it's local government area, I believe.
Stay in your burrow.
Yeah.
I love most of you think of rabbits. Maybe that's why I like it.
Yeah, that's cute. And now it's kind of weird because we have these councils and they're, I don't know if you remember, but a few years back there was some controversy about the councils kind of merging in certain parts of Sydney to be like a bigger, to incorporate like a bigger region. And people didn't like that because there was a concern that it would impact local interests by like the rulership being more sort of homogenous. The they're sort of calling where I, you know, like where I live, in that part of Sydney and like near like Roselle and all that. They're calling that the Inner West now. But to me, like, that's not the Inner West. Like, Inner West is like Newtown and Marrickville and all that. But now they're kind of also saying that Roselle and Balmain and all that is also the Inner West, which shares no cultural kinship with...
No, I think of Campbelltown when I think of the West.
Well, yeah, that's like...
West, the Westies. Yeah, that was a thing when I went to boarding school. That was a term we used a lot, Westies.
Yes, I also grew up in it. Well, they really demeaned the Westies and that.
Okay, so if we go to the Wikipedia's, borough. See also borough and borough. they're just spelled a bit differently. Alternative forms, borrow, B-O-R-O, borg, B-U-R-R-O-W, obsolete. Etymology, from Middle English, Old English, Proto-Western German, burg, a burgs, stronghold or city. Birch, German, burg, Swedish, borg.
The borg.
The borg, yeah, that's French, borg, Turkish. But this is a similar word in a lot of other languages. Now, mainly used as a noun, it appears, a town having a municipal corporation and certain traditional rights. So let's look to the Wikipedia's on neighbourhood, and it says, common to both Commonwealth English and American English, it is a geographical localised community within a larger city, town, suburb or rural area, sometimes consisting of a single street or building line. So it's really, it's consistent with common usage, the street you live in and the people that live around you, the social network, your neighbours.
It's a strange word, neighbour. I've never been able to spell it.
No. It's a weird one. N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R.
One of those words to confound people learning the English language.
Yes, the nonsensical spelling of words in English. Non-phonetical.
Mm.
Phonetic. Pre-industrial cities, in the words of urban scholar Lewis Mumford, neighbourhoods in some annoying Inuit fashion exist wherever human beings congregate in permanent family dwellings. Inuit meaning undefined. Neighbours are typically generated by social interactions among people. There you go. I do associate it with the idea of people. Although, I guess if you're surrounded by animals, you might... you'd probably give up talking altogether, wouldn't you? No, you'd probably end up talking to yourself, I think.
And then there's the people that believe that everything's alive, even a table...
Oh, that's me, panpsychism.
That's
called.
Right, yeah.
And I'm one of those people. I think that consciousness is, the universe is conscious and everything in it is. I think crystals have a mind and have a consciousness and reality. It's just the crystal reality, not a human one.
You know, so would you say that in that case, everywhere is like a neighbourhood of life and...
It's all one big neighbourhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although we're really unaware of some of the other entities that we cohabitate with, since most people don't think in terms of everything being conscious. In fact, there's ever since Descartes, the idea that humans were special and were the only ones that had consciousness. This is sometimes associated by some people with modern industrialized farming practices. Also something to do with childbirth. And there's a way of getting people to accept the brutalities of the life they live in by elevating our status as the only soul-bearing conscious entities around.
To have dominion.
So compared to some of the words we talk about, this is kind of a more modern enunciation, a more modern word, and it's been somewhat abbreviated to just hood.
Well, the hood carries a connotation, or it can, of a lower socioeconomic and criminality, the ghetto. But yeah, people do just say the hood or in the hood.
Yeah, that makes me think of Spanion, the YouTube identity Spanion, who makes videos going around the world to different hoods. And a lot of them are social housing constructs, but not all of them. And he goes to all kinds of places. He does kind of focus on the kind of places he came from. So he grew up in social housing, and he goes to places like that. A hood.
And then hood, like hoods can also be gangsters, you know, in the
Frank Sinatra. That's what a hood is, isn't it?
And you've got the term hoodlum.
As someone who operates in the hood, I guess. Hoodlum.
Yeah. The Wikipedia is associating hoodlum with late 1800s attacks on Chinese people from Irish people. That's what they're... the article's all about, seemingly.
So. Oh, right, because they didn't like these strangers, these aliens coming into their community and just making an association, an ethnic association with the idea.
Mm.
We did actually, you mentioned that when we were talking about it before, and I didn't really have that kind of association in my mind with the idea of neighbourhood having anything to do with ethnicity, but that might be because of the culturally in Australia where we've always been a bit diverse in the mix of people, more and more so as time goes on, particularly lately.
And you get, you definitely do still get certain pockets of Sydney that are racially a certain majority. Like you'll go to Hurstville or like Ashfield or Burwood and it's all Asian people.
Yeah, and La Kemba.
Yeah, well, the La Kemba and like Blacktown and that, it's like the Lebanese population.
Cabramatta.
Yeah.
the Vietnamese. But I guess like people kind of hang around together. Mm. It's kind of understandable.
The Greeks and the Italians in like Leichhardt and Marrickville, all that. Portuguese in Petersham.
Multiculturalism.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I remember that Gough Whitlam and his buddies wanted to create a city in the middle of Australia called the Multifunction Polis, I think they called it, whatever that means. That was something, do you remember that? No.
Was this where they wanted to irrigate the desert?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was part of, they had all kinds of grand plans, the Whitlam boys. Era politicians.
What an inspiring time. Not like today.
Well, they're working on it now, aren't they? They're still heavily working on it. In fact, I just noticed that the Labor Party are pushing with even more immigration. That's their plans to even increase the amount. There's been a lot of criticism about it, you know, in terms of its impact on all aspects of society. But they're not, they're pushing forward with that, increasing the population and importing a lot of people. The sea people, you know, the mystery of the sea people. I remember reading about that in a lot of very ancient stories about cultures that disappeared in invasions, and there was always talk of these sea people and where did they come from, and what happened to these civilizations, how did they disappear? But maybe it was simply mass integration that caused the whole thing to turn into something else.
Yes, and that's what we're living through at the moment. So
everywhere you look, basically, it seems to be happening everywhere. There are probably some isolated community somewhere where it's not happening. But I guess there's a lot of comfort in hanging in your neighbourhood. In fact, I've got I know a couple of people who've my neighbours here where I live who haven't really been outside of the suburb they live in their whole lives. I mean, they have, but not much. They really don't go anywhere.
Yeah, I think it's fairly common. What was that movie, The Castle?
Yeah, that was a good, that was a great film. Great Aussie film about the joys of having your own little place. And that also included that film, the idea of the hood, the neighbourhood, and, you know, the people that, the central people in that story were just this tiny little community that lived in this area where the airport was decided to extend their airport, and the government wanted to just take all their homes, and they decided not to go.
Yeah.
That reminds me of a story I just saw about a bloke in China who... whether or not this is true or not, I can't actually imagine the CCP doing this, but there was some farmer who didn't want to move his little, you know, his humpy wherever it was, and they wanted to build this massive expressway through his place, so they actually built the thing around him, and he has to walk through this concrete tunnel that's about half a kilometre long to get to his place, which is completely surrounded on all sides by 50-foot concrete walls.
Wow. Now, in terms of playing word association, something I think of as well is the idea of the neighbourhood watch, which I'd imagine the attendance of a neighbourhood watch would have been on the decline the last 20 years as the economy demands that, you know, people have to have two-income households, and I just don't think people would have the time to be a part of a neighbourhood watch in the kind of neighbourhoods that would have had them.
I think that that would have just been a consequence of functional communities. They look after each other. There would be no need for some government-sponsored program to encourage people to be indoctrinated into the idea of a neighbourhood watch, because people would knew each other. And they would look after each other, sort of as a family does. And the extended family is your, you know, your local community and the people that you live around. And you like them and you love them, you know, and you take care of each other. And in modern times, you don't really have that. It probably exists in some places. I don't know if it's that widespread as a phenomena these days. Certainly where I live, I'm surrounded by high density humans above either side of me, and there's very little sense of community here. And in fact, I wouldn't trust my neighbours to call the police if, you know, my place was burning down.
Absolutely. Mate, not. Snitches get stitches.
Not to help me anyway. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that made me start thinking about neighbourhoods was that I've recently gotten into watching the show Desperate Housewives, and the premise of that show is contingent on the idea of these housewives that are friends by virtue of the fact that they live in the same street. And so they have this these like neighborly kind of friendships. You know, a lot of it revolves around the, can I borrow the sugar, or can you watch my kids for a couple of hours, this kind of thing. I think they have their weekly poker playing night or something, and they come together. But I was thinking, because that show started in 2004, and I was thinking, like, do we now live in such a low trust society that the premise of this show would no longer like work in the modern day? Because I've definitely noticed it compared to when I was a kid, there's much less
Yeah,
trust,
I'd agree with that.
And so is it a neighborhood when your interactions with the other humans are much more disparate and people are more insulated and alienated?
Well, I think without relationships, you don't have a neighborhood, really, perhaps. There seems to be an association with actual relationships between actual people rather than just the proximity of where they their burrows are, their digs. Community is really about that as well. It's about people living together and doing things together. And, you know, well, I think we're becoming estranged from each other as humans. The more time seems to go on, I'm not exactly sure why this is, you know. It's not just about people coming from other places. Certainly that would be part of it. People that are culturally removed don't automatically sort of jibe necessarily. It's still a nice idea, the idea of
a co-created community. Wandering the neighborhood as a child, you know, I grew up in a place that was very safe for kids, and people could just like wander around. You wouldn't have to worry about encountering some dangerous, perverse man or stepping on some broken glass or something like that. And so I guess when I think of neighborhood, I do think of a sort of idealized suburban kind of setting. But there's also the idea of neighbors as well. And what does it mean to be a good neighbor? It's funny because Australia's most popular soap opera is Neighbours, which is wildly popular in England. They're obsessed with Ramsay Street. And
they still play Neighbours, I think.
Yeah, I think it's still going. And in the theme song to that, they sing about when good neighbours become good friends. Yeah, it's an interesting kind of relationship. There's something about it's kind of arbitrary because, you know, you might not have met or associated with these people if you weren't living near them. And then how does that trust in those relationships develop? And sometimes if there's, you know, distinct differences that can be harder to bridge that, like say if there's a language barrier or a cultural barrier or something like that. So I suppose something like, you know, having kids that go to the same school or something like that, that can be something to galvanize people or to break the ice a little bit.
Yeah, familiarity doesn't always breed contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And children, sometimes it breeds friendships. When you were a kid, what were your neighbors like? Do you remember your neighborhood? And
I do.
Was it a thing?
Definitely was. Like I was very close with the family next door, the Pappas family. They had four kids, and you know, I was spend time at their house all the time. They'd come over to our house as well to swim in the swimming pool, and we used to look after their dog four times a year for a couple of weeks when they'd go on holidays. And so that was definitely like a neighbor relationship that was strong. But the, you know, I was closer with the kids than our respective parents were with each other.
Yeah, I think I had a bit of a weird time there as a kid because I grew up, because my dad was a minister first, I kind of grew up living next to churches. I don't remember any neighbours or having anything to do with them. And then my dad joined the army and I lived on an army base and always in army housing. But that was, that was a neighbourhood, a special kind of sort of neighbourhood, special interest. But certainly that kind of thing you just described went on. You know, I was friendly with some of the kids and I would go down and stay at their place and they'd stay at mine, and you'd get to know their parents, and, you know, they'd make you pumpkin pie and French toast and things you'd never had before that you didn't get at your place.
something that my great uncle would talk about was that, and you hear this a lot from people, so you can take it with a grain of salt, but I do see a bit of truth in it, was that he would say that neighbors used to have more fun. And I know that back when my grandparents were younger retirees, because my grandpa retired at 60, you know, and then he had another 40 years to just be the master of his domain. But before I was born, my grandparents used to host these garden parties because they got a big backyard. So they would have all the neighbors in the Crescent come round, and they'd be singing songs and cooking meat and, you know, playing like parlor games and stuff like that.
Like a neighborhood barbecue and that kind of thing. Well, actually, I remember Cracker Night because that was like one of my favorite things. And Cracker Night was a big thing. And actually, I remember like everybody, all the families, because out on the army base, there were, when you were in the army back then, everyone was in the army. If the father was, everybody was, and you lived on this isolated from everybody else. And that was probably one of the biggest coming togethers of everybody was on Cracker Night, and we'd build a big bonfire and blow off crackers. Christmas, big like neighborhood Christmas parties. I remember those things happening.
That's interesting because like, I feel in my life, I've kind of grown up with Christmas being the time where you kind of just see your family and that's it. Mind you, I would visit the people next door, but I was the kind of exception to the rule.
Yeah, because for me, it was like the time when I went home. I would always go home at Christmas. Yeah, Christmas and Easter. I don't think I missed any. I missed one Christmas in my entire life that I didn't spend with my parents when they were both around.
And would your sister come as well?
Yeah, always. Yep.
But yeah, Cracker Night would definitely have fallen out of favor in this world that's obsessed with safety.
Wasn't it a different world back? Back when I was a kid, you know, we all used to run around with the things that we would get up to. For a start, our parents never knew where we were. Like, I would leave, and as long as I was back by sundown, everything was okay, but they never knew where I was. And we used to, like, shoot each other with slug guns and blow things up and just do all these incredibly, like, stupid, dangerous things. But we survived. Same with Cracker Night. We used to just, you know, every kid used to run around with like pockets full of crackers, blowing things up. I mean, that'd be unheard of now. People would have a conniption of somebody, you know, if you went outside and started letting off crackers, they'd call the police. Yeah, somebody's burning something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, well, the cracker thing's still a thing because actually there's still a lot of firecrackers imported into the country. They all go to Queensland though. You can actually buy crackers. If you've got a Queensland address, you can buy crackers over the internet.
What's that about?
Different laws, mate.
Different culture as well.
Up in Queensland.
Yeah. Don't they have unfluoridated water?
We're the most fluoridated country in the world, including Queensland. However, I think it's Cairns or Townsville. I believe it's Cairns. Somebody took it to them in a legal fashion and they immediately stopped putting fluoride in the water up there. The power of the neighbourhood, mate.
Yes.
You can actually get all kinds of things done if you join together and go against the forces that that are trying to oppress you or push you around.
That's right.
Maybe that's part of the reason for the disintegration in communities and families and neighbourhoods is that it renders us powerless against the forces that be that would tell us what to do. So, we could go on, but that's a wrap on Neighbourhoods.
It's time for us to wish you adieu.
Be kind to your neighbours.
And wherever you happen to live, we hope that it's a neighbourhood that can be pleasant enough. maybe even beautiful.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.